Good morning. The scripture reading comes from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Over the next 3 months, our theme for Sunday morning messages is going to center on listening. And a variety of us will examine stories and passages from the Bible, teachings from Scripture that offer examples, both good and bad, of how individuals and communities have sought to listen to God, to their own lives, and to one another. I expect some attention will be given to practices and life patterns that try to enhance our ability to hear the word of the Lord, and just as important, or maybe more important, to actually act on it as we're led. More than ever, I'm mindful of how hard it is to hear well. When Janine and I were moved to Indiana in 2011, we bought an old farmhouse built in 1890, and it had high ceilings and thick walls and small rooms and strong, sturdy wood floors. If we weren't standing next to each other, it was awfully hard to hear what the other one was saying. So we spent a lot of time saying, "What? Huh?" and repeating ourselves. We were happy to use the house's design as our excuse anyway. It was a lot more palatable than thinking it was maybe old age or the fact that we just weren't listening to each other quite as carefully after several decades. And then we moved back to Oregon 7 years later, back to our old house, and we remodeled it. We literally were tearing out walls and pulling up floors and removing all the sound barriers that would be between us. And lo and behold, we were hearing each other better. And though remodeling for that was not, we didn't remodel for that reason, so that we could hear each other better, it reminded me that if you want to do something important, like listening to somebody you love, you may need to take drastic action. Well, my hearing has been going for years, mostly due to the fact that I didn't ever protect them while I was growing up. But then we got to 2020 and COVID happened. And one day I was standing in our kitchen and it was like somebody came up and put earmuffs on me. In a moment, I lost a whole bunch of hearing. I actually looked around. I didn't know what happened. And I think it was the effects of long COVID that I had gotten. And so for the next 3 years, I went to doctors, and I took herbs, and I took medicines, and I stood on my head. Not very long, but I tried, trying to figure out a way to fix it. And nothing helped until I got these. Little product placement here today. This morning's message is brought to you by Jabra. Jabra, if you want to improve your selective hearing, buy these. And you know, they've helped. Not perfectly, but they've helped a lot. And I can hear better, but I have to work really hard. And if you see me reading your lips, that's one reason. Well, being hard of hearing is not always something you can control or correct. Being hard of listening, well, I know something about that too. And that's a whole different matter. In the beginning, the Hebrew scriptures assert that God spoke creation into his existence. And as far as I can tell, reading the Bible, God hasn't stopped speaking since. Afterward, God calls humanity to love and to care for the creation and one another and to walk in the cool of the shade, the cool of the garden, the beauty of the garden, in intimacy and in fellowship with God. And even when God is rejected, there's this persistent invitation that's offered to listen, to know, to follow, to hear the word of the Lord. Whether that invitation comes audibly or through the voice of a prophet or a burning bush or a talking donkey or some other ass, God's word is spoken in the hope and expectation that a willing people will hear and will understand and will joyfully obey. This overriding emphasis on listening is woven throughout the remainder of the biblical text. The prophets call people to listen, to hear, to be still. John's gospel begins with the reminder, in the beginning was the Word. The eternal voice of wisdom that is spoken, that spoke creation into existence, all things into being, and is now incarnated in the person of Jesus Christ, and is alive in each person, that light that gives light to all people, a measure of light at least. In his life, Jesus teaches and he calls and he invites others. He reminds us that people do not survive, let alone thrive by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the preceding word of God. We need more than bread. We need the spoken word of God. We need to hear it. And in Jesus' mind, to those who have ears to hear, that capacity that has more to do with the posture of our souls than how flexible and healthy are these intricate little parts inside our outer ears, but how our inner soul is bent toward God. That's where we will hear. That's who will listen. Well, to those who are learning to incline their inner ears to hear, Jesus says they will know his voice and they will follow his commands, the greatest of which is to love God and others. And when they do this, when the word they hear becomes truth in their lives, a watching world is said will notice. They'll notice and they'll say with wonder, indeed, those are the friends of God. And so over and over in the text, there's this repeated emphasis on listening for the God who not only has spoken in time, who not only gave us a word that is written down for us, but a God who continues to speak. And so integral, and this is so integral to our faith lives, this willingness and ability to learn how to listen, that it's almost as if our lives depend on it. Our very lives depend on it. At least if we want to enter into the life that God intends for us. Not to avoid punishment, not to earn God's favor, but as an avenue for intimacy and to experience everything that God intends for our lives. So this morning, I want to kick off this series on listening by looking at Deuteronomy 6, the text that Angela just read. It's a passage that's often referred to as the Shema, a foundational portion of Scripture that emphasizes the fact that there we are to enter into this exclusive worship of the one God. And with the imperative that we're to love the Lord our God with all of ourselves, all of our might, all of our mind, all of our energy, everything that is within us, wholeheartedly. This and the call to hear, or more literally to listen, is meant to shape the identity that we have, the identity of our lives and the faith practices of those who are seeking to know and follow. Well, these very few verses are really the heart and soul of a much broader and deeper invitation to listen. And if you go back to chapter 5, which I would invite you to do this week, go back and read all of chapter 5 and all of chapter 6. And what you see is this repeated theme that the people of God are supposed to really bend their ear toward God. This focus on listening is really important. So chapter 5 begins with the same language, "Hear, O Israel, listen." And then it's followed with the Ten Commands, which are sort of the explication of what it means to love God and neighbor. Moses says, I'm declaring these things in your hearing today for those of you who are paying attention. So learn them and follow them. He goes on in verse 4, chapter 5, to remind them that God spoke to them face to face in a loud voice for everyone to hear. And the people come to Moses afterwards and said, we've seen God's glory. We've heard the voice. And today we've seen that a person can actually hear the voice of God and will live, something they weren't sure was actually possible. But there they did it. It was amazing to them. But it also so terrified them. He said, Moses, you go on up the hill and listen for us, because we're not sure we really can endure that, even though I think that's what God wanted. So pay attention and do whatever the Lord tells you. Listen and obey. That's the call that comes to them. And chapter 6 then comes back with this theme, to hear, O Israel, and follow the commands that I've given you so that you can enter into the life that I'm waiting to give you. I invite you again to go home and read that passage. In Hebrew, Shema means more than listen or to hear. It means to listen and obey. It emphasizes this attentive, active listening that leads to action. The focus of the listening is really specific, too. We're to attend to the voice of the one true God, which I think is the root of what it means, or the root of radical listening, that there is one voice we're to tune our ears to focus on. This single note that sounds through all of creation, we're to tune our lives toward it, to learn to be in harmony with it. Hear, O Israel, as Angela said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen. This prayer is so central to Jewish worship that it's often recited several times a day by the faithful. It's the last prayer people say at their point of death. If they have any capacity at all, this is the prayer they pray. It serves as both a declaration of faith and a commitment to singularity, to God's singularity. Like, there is one God. And it's a profession of our willingness to love and follow God, as I've said, with our whole heart and mind and soul. And it's so important. This command is so important. We're to impress it on the lives of our children. Not through guilt and coercion and manipulation, but as we walk and talk and discuss what truly matters in our lives. Beyond the daily grind, beyond the latest news, beyond our celebrity that we follow who's such an influencer on our life. What's the Lord saying? And how do we share those with our children? These are conversations of the heart. And so as we sit at home, we walk along the road and we lie down, we rise up, it's the natural expression, it's the outpouring of a life of one who has wholeheartedly assumed a posture of prayerful listening. It comes out of them as they talk about and share about their experience of what it means to know and follow God. Now, this is not easy, at least in my life. And may not be in your life either. And part of what the Bible passages that we will explore will reveal is it's also not easy for a lot of folks who made it into the book. They struggled. And that was one reason why they developed these reminders for those of us who are forgetful and distracted and self-absorbed, that there are things we can do, writing it on our doorposts, putting something on our forehead, having it on our wrist, these things that maybe some of us think are awfully silly, but if your life really depends on it, if God is truly the object of your love and you feel like your life really depends on it, why not do the silly I've had the privilege of worshiping with Quakers in the West Bank and Palestine several times. And in the heart of Ramallah, where the city is, friends gathered for an hour of silent worship only. And for the first number of times I'd been there, it was always really quiet. And then it's in an Islamic area, and they moved one of the loudspeakers that does the prayer, the regular prayer call throughout the town, really close to the meeting house. And so at about 10:15, right as folks were settling into the silence, this prayer would just blare through the loudspeaker. And I remember being there one Sunday, and there was a fellow from another country who was there, and he came up to me afterwards, and he talked about just how annoyed he was that the silence had been interrupted by this call to prayer. And why? And I thought, boy, I understand it. Right? I need those reminders that draw me back, that help. Bend my heart to and tune my ears toward. Maybe those things aren't so silly after all. And maybe absolute quiet, absolute silence is not the only avenue, even for us introverts, in which we can hear God. Maybe there's some other daily practices. Maybe there's something valuable even about the rhythm of weekly worship that pulls us out of our distraction, our self-absorption, to learn to listen. Maybe there's something valuable about going on walks with friends, or wristbands, or tones that ring from our cell phone that remind us on the hour to pray. Or a set time of day where we interrupt our regularly scheduled program to just go and listen and be quiet. There's no one right way. And I'm really hoping that over the next couple months we're going to hear from one another some of those things that are most helpful for each of us, because we just might find something that will help bend our own hearts a little bit further toward the heart of God. In our day, we most often emphasize the ethical aspect of the Shema, the outgrowth of loving God, which is meant to be expressed in the way that we treat our neighbor. And that's right, because Jesus emphasized that as the great command in places like Matthew 22 and Mark 12 and Luke 10. But the Shema and many other Bible passages that call us to listen first remind us that it could be that our capacity to love our neighbor really well, really authentically, in the way that God intends, arises first out of our willingness to listen to God, to pay attention to the voice that matters, who speaks, whose true vision of life and the good way is more true and more beautiful, more holy, more good, more peaceable than the voice that rattles around in my head, or the many and loud and demanding voices that are always trying to tell me what I ought to be doing and how I ought to be going about it. And so to love the Lord well and to understand and know what neighbor love really entails, I think means we need to learn to listen well. To listen. To listen. Not simply receiving a word from God, but allowing that word to be spoken into our hearts so that it can get down deep enough to shape our lives, to maybe restore or renew our vision, to unplug our blocked ears, so that it reemerges out of our lives in the words we speak and the way we interact with others and the direction we choose to orient our lives. Even though I'm not able to improve my hearing much at this point, I want to learn to listen well. And especially now as I get toward the end of my life, I want to understand what it means to listen well. as though my life really depends on it, in order to respond as faithfully as I know how. Because I really believe this is the heart of faith. This is the heart of entering into the life and the community that God has called us to create. Again, not to avoid punishment or to appease God, but out of this overwhelming love, or at least the wanting to have an overwhelming love for God, and a desire to be known and to know, and a hunger to enter into the good and beautiful way that we as humans have been invited into, not just for our own sake, but so that we might bless others. If you're new to us, we spend some time each week in silence to practice learning to listen together. And so we're going to enter into that time. And I invite each of us to tune our ears to that one true voice who speaks in time and on time. And if you are called to be an extension of that voice, to share with us what you've heard, we pray you'll do that faithfully.